Good morning and welcome to the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. You could stand up, turn around, look at somebody, give them a high five, fist bump, air five, whatever you feel comfortable with. Get used to getting them arms moving. I am happy to come to a church where I love the people that I'm going to see. I'm excited to be with everyone this morning, and we're going to move into worship. We're going to move into praise. We're going to begin to glorify God, because we know when we begin to praise Him, when we begin to glorify Him, God inhabits the praises of His people.
Yes.
And I know that the week that I have, sometimes the week that we have, I need God to show up today. And so we're going to begin to glorify Him, edify Him. God, I thank You for everything that You have done and everything that You are going to do. Lord, You are worthy of all of my praise. I give You glory today. I give You honor today. I lift up Your name, Lord. Pray that You move on us and we respond to You, Jesus, because we need a move today. In Your name.
You are holy, Lord.
Holy Lord, you are holy, Lord.
each of you this morning. We have a couple announcements. Why don't you just go ahead and look at somebody? I guess Brother Stephen already did this, but you can say hi to someone new now. Say hi to someone different. We have a couple of announcements. Move the Mission offering is due today, and Brother Stephen will make another announcement about that. September 25th is a Ladies Life Conference. It's called Awaken. It'll be in Cleburne, Texas. September 26th is our monthly mission pledge. It's due. October 2nd is the Jefferson Outing Day Trip. The sign-up sheet is in the foyer. You guys will be leaving at 8 a.m.
Yeah, and just so let me just say that it's not a couples trip, so I understand that that is apparently the opening season for beau season. I don't know. So there are some women going by themselves. There are some men going. So it's fine. It's not a couples trip. This is a church trip. So it is sponsored by the crew. But anyone that wants to just go have a fun day of fellowship, please sign up in the foyer.
And then volunteers are needed for the Calvary United Pentecostal Church in Bonham. They're building a new building and needing help. And there are a couple of dates that they're doing different things. So if you're interested in that, please reach out to Sister Lisa Calico with any questions.
Everybody say, move the mission. And so I've been talking your ear off about it for the past few weeks, but today is the final day for our Move the Mission fundraiser. And so we have, you might have already seen it, or you may have already participated, or you're about to go participate as I speak. We have the black poster boards out here with envelopes on them with the number from 1 to 100. And some of them are missing, which means we've got some money already being raised. And so what it means is the number that is on the card, whenever you decide to take a card, you are committing to donate that amount of money to Move the Missions. And Move the Missions is our fundraising ministry of the youth ministries of the UPCI. So since its inception in 1953, it has raised over $151 million to fund missions and ministries around the world. And so that's getting missionaries a vehicle that they can carry the gospel. That's a North American missionary getting a building that they can share the truth in. That's a child being able to be placed in a home at a Tupelo Children's Mansion or the Lighthouse Ranch for Boys, or a student pursuing their calling at Christian education at an MTM scholarship, or a child being placed with a loving family through New Beginnings. It is our way to personally be able to move the mission ourselves, to be able to personally invest in the kingdom of God and move the mission forward. I encourage everybody, if you can, to participate in this fundraiser. It's easy. It's quick. Grab a card. If the number's a little too high, tag team with somebody. Get that card filled out. And so we want to be able to get as many of these cards gone that we can. And today is the final day. It is the due date. So I encourage you to go out, get you a card after service, and move the mission. Thank you.
We're about to sing Let Praises Rise. Why don't you just get comfortable in God's presence? Just forget everything that's going on. I know that's easier said than done. And just give Him praise. Just totally devoted, undivided attention to Him.
Come fill my
To wait until an altar call or until a certain part of the service takes place for God to move, for God to heal, or for God to deliver or break free in our lives. It can happen in your pew right now. It can happen in your pew during the next song. It can happen whenever you are ready to fully let loose and allow God to move in your life. And God is here. God is ready to move, and God is seeking, walking back and forth, looking for who he can heal and who he can deliver today. I feel it in the spirit this morning. And so right now we're going to take prayer requests, and I encourage you to entertain this presence, to get a hold of it and receive what you need to receive today. Do not leave here like it's an ordinary Sunday. It's not another day of the week, but it's an opportunity for us to grow and to receive something today. And so we have David Vanderberg, we have Charles Fleming, Carla Clark, Vicky Sugg, and her husband, Deborah Calloway, Sister Bonnie Newberry, Jerry Gilmore of the Lighthouse Boys Ranch. They suffered some damage from the hurricane. Jeff Gibson, Carol Hosh, Debbie Jones, Brittany Wise, Paul Schoenberger, Billy and Jeremy Trinato, Carol Sane, Brother and Sister Alton Bristow, Sister Ellen Weaver, Brother and Sister Bob Bolton, Brother and Sister John Proctor, Sister Denise Bell, Sister Billy Bolton, Sister Lois Weems, and we have Adrian Klein, he's not feeling well, and Kaiser Calico, and Deborah Calloway. And I believe that we step out in faith. We see so many stories in the Bible that their miracle, that their deliverance, and what they're looking for hinged on an action from them first. Moses didn't hear from the burning bush until he turned and walked towards it. that Peter didn't experience his miracle of walking on water until he stepped out of the boat. And we have our miracle here ready. We have the same God that's delivering, that's doing those miracles here. But what's hinging on what we receive it or not is if we step out, if we respond. And so today, we're going to anoint you with oil if you feel like you need to be anointed. If you feel like you have a need specifically prayed for, I encourage you to come down to this altar. We're going to anoint you with oil. We're going to pray over you, and we're going to see a change. We're going to see a shift. And so, God, I pray that right now you begin to move and you elevate our faith, that we begin to rise up, God. We begin to believe, God, that you can move, that we don't have to hurt any longer, that we don't have to suffer any longer, that we don't have to struggle anymore, but what we came in here with, we don't have to walk out of here with, but we can give it to you, and you can heal us. In Jesus' name.
Spirit lives within me. place. Your spirit lives within me. It's my victory. My victory, your spirit. Your spirit lives within me. So I will walk in your peace. Your spirit lives within me. My victory. My victory. Your spirit lives your spirit within me.
You're need in this service right now, right here. I thank him for his sweet spirit. I got a little testimony I want to share real quick. Last week, there was a deal on Facebook. And I'm not a big Facebook fan, but I'm a Jesus fan. And so I use Facebook for this church. And I'm attached to this church even through Facebook. And I was provoked last week whenever there was a message sent forth from the leadership of this church that it said, send an emoji if you would read this word of John, the book of John, in 1 week. And I clicked that emoji, and that was my commitment that I would do that. And there has been a fellowship in reading that word because those that clicked it, I feel that as I'm reading it, no matter what time of day, that holds me accountable, that I know that we're in one spirit and one mind in this building, but it also in that word that's going to save us.
Amen.
That word is going to penetrate our heart and transform us to give us that total mind of Christ that will exit this world. I'm so thankful for that leadership because there's a momentum. And as an air conditioner works, there's a capacitor, and it gives that thump start, the beginning. It gives that beginning start. And then after that, then the other parts can do their job. But without that initial bump, I'm thankful for that bump, that leadership that said it and sparked it, that right now there's 11 people that clicked that. I'm wondering if that momentum that started this could just gusher out on you, and I could challenge you that we would continue this to be in one accord and one mind at our homes, to fellowship in the Word of God and to be held accountable when we click that, that I will do that daily and I will get fed more than I can imagine because I have fellowship with my brother and my sister when I read that Word of God and we're in one accord and one mind. I am so thankful and I hope and I pray that there's more next week and this will continue, that there's more than 11. I hope that even though that capacitor has been kicked in, that I can do my part and keep the momentum going. Because I'm telling you now, it fed my soul and it will continue to get me out of this miry clay. Yes. I praise the leadership of this administration here. I give all praise and glory to Jesus Christ.
I believe the children's church may be released. And the ushers could come. We're going to take our tithes and our offering. There is such a powerful presence of God in this place. And as we take offering, I encourage you that as we give sacrificially, financially, we give sacrificially in our bodies and in our praise. And we're going to move into the Word of God and we're going to receive something today. God, I thank you for the spirit we've already felt. I thank you for what you're going to do and everything you've done already. God, I pray that you bless what is given and you bless the giver and anoint the preaching in the congregation. In your mighty name, amen.
Joy! chance to smile at somebody as if to say, I care. It is a giant joy to be in the presence of a God that can resurrect himself. You may be seated. You know, the story may be old, but the event lingers with everybody. There's not a person that we put into their final resting place that we don't hope they go to heaven. Nothing wrong with that hope. I have it for everybody. I refuse to tell people that they're going to a place where they don't seem to be looking. Because most of us go where we're looking. And if you're really looking for the author and the finisher of our faith, he lives in a holy place. He resides in temples where we clean out unbelief, dark happenings, bad past memories. He is the light. We can all agree on that. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the glory. He is the wisdom. And he's your sacrifice that opened the door for the best future you could ever even begin to imagine and then not imagine at all. The enemy would do anything he could to distract our attention from people that die. He would like to focus us on people that sin. He would like to focus on the people that backslid. Do you realize how many people have died from COVID in the United Pentecostal Church of Paris? Zero. How many have we died from old age? Over 50 since I've been here. And we're scared to death of COVID. And we praise its power for being able to take us out of here. Not on your life. Fear not. I am the Lord thy God. I challenge hell in your presence. I challenge those wicked demons that try to torment you with the idea you're going out of here before God gets ready. I've buried 6-month-old babies. I have buried people that are 100+. Nobody leaves here without the eye of the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, saying, okay, Satan, go do your work. I've got a better place for them. And for those that are wicked and evil, it's sometimes I've got a way to get them out of your way. But those that are beautiful and glorious in Christ, there's a forever resting place. And some of us have put some people there. I rejoice in some of the great citizens of this assembly. Buried over 200 people since I've been here. Some of them I wished I could have rejoiced. But most of them, I have been able to lift up my hands and say, thank you, Lord, for giving them their final resting place. They'll never fight another demon. They'll never fight another battle. But as long as I am pastor here, you can believe one thing. I'm going to fight that power of darkness that tries to recess the sunshine of His glory. I'm going to dispel every fear and power of hell that would cause you to develop all kind of worries and paralysis in your spiritual being. I'm here to tell you, He came to set us free, and He wasn't playing a game. It's not something that's going to happen in a coliseum. It happened on Golgotha. He said, I will forgive you of all your sins. And all I ask for you is to repent and take my name and let my word become the manager of your future. His word lived. The manager of flesh lived among us. It was a whole new bloodline. The first Adam got it contaminated, and everybody since then was born in sin and shaping in iniquity. But when you repent of your sins by faith and get baptized in the name of Jesus by faith and get filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, you become a new citizen. That's not something that's Pentecostal. That's God. Read that book in the Gospels where Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. That's not Pentecostal. Pentecostals have adapted that scripture to a part of their core values. But that's not Pentecostal. That's God. This is either the Word of God or it's not. And how could we in any way believe this Word if we feel like it's contaminated? It's not contaminated. God has preserved it till the day of judgment. It's phenomenal. Many supposed theologians have tried to exercise their right to reform, and now we have 360 different religious systems that are trying to give people a ticket to heaven. You better make sure that ticket's got blood names on it. Because by His stripes we are healed. That's not just for your physical healing today. That's for your forever healing out of the graveyard. And if you have buried somebody, give God the credit for knowing if they're saved or not. Don't try to be prejudicial and grade them on three or four things you saw that were negative, and then all of a sudden we find out they had it made all the time. I've been worried for nothing. Been acting cast down. That's the devil's business, to put on you some weird feeling and thought that would cause you to feel like God didn't do His part. I promise you, nobody's going to hell that turned their heart to God. And they may have had all kind of physical misappropriations, and they may have made mistakes real close to the graveyard. But none of us know when they cleaned up and what they did in those last 30 minutes or 30 seconds of their life. I'm here to tell you, call on the day of the Lord in trouble and He will hear thee. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the glory of yesterday and tomorrow is already in His palm of His hands. Walk into it with confidence. This day is the day of the Lord. I wish we'd praise Him for the people that walked through COVID and quit worrying about the ones that didn't die because it looked like they were. We've got a lot to stand to our feet and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Half of you here tonight or this morning could all be in the graveyard, but God has delivered you. God has kept you. God, we ought to stand to our feet right now and give Him the greatest ovation He's had all week from us. This ought to be one of the most beautiful moments in our life. We're in His court. We're in His house. We're in His presence. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Bible said, praise Him in the day of trouble. You may be seated. I'll get around to this lesson in a minute. God had a few things He wanted to help you with. Because He's got the enemy's got so many people fearing. Book face value, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. He said, fear him who can destroy your body and soul in hell. That's the fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that fear is that if I violate his will, I wind up in a departure or a divorce or an emancipation from his healing, victory, power, and glory. We all too often grade our faith on how soon God does everything. I prayed and it didn't happen. I've been praying for 2 years and it didn't happen. How long do you think he has waited on us? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's a phenomenon. Great peace have they who love the law of the Lord, and nothing shall by any means offend them or derail them or distract them. Ladies and gentlemen, you did come to the right place today. You just not always ready to, like you know you've heard pastor say several times over. When you go to the doctor, they don't tell you to put your overcoat on. They strip you down to where you're vulnerable. Then they put those cold hands on tender spots. Hello? Are y'all real? Some of y'all look like you all of a sudden turned into one of those mannequins. It's all right to be real. My man, I'm telling you, they weigh you. The audacity of weighing some of us. Some of you just not going to move at all. And then one little cockroach runs across your plate of food and you jump and scream. And say, I'm just not the emotional sort. Can real really happen in this day? Is TV the only thing that can manage our emotions? I'm sick of people being managed by liars and cheaters and haters of men and lovers of money and lovers of power, and they don't love our God. I'm going to preach him because he is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the hope of the world. He is the bloodline I want to live in. I want his genes in mine. We get so emotional at a storm, and he's got control of it. Which would you rather go by? A lightning taking you out quick, or several years of some disease? Lightning is not going to destroy you unless God's already said it's okay. My repertoire of memories, Mary was her first name, standing at a pulpit in Louisiana campground, teaching children about Jesus. Lightning strikes, rents the back of the brick building, knocks her dead on the floor, and 6 hours later she rises up. And she was one of my friends for life. Don't tell me we don't have a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Walk out of your dilemma today into the direction of the way, the truth, and the light, and worship him for the choice. If you can't worship him for anything, worship him because he gave you a choice. Hallelujah. Well, I know y'all are waiting for this delicious meal. Have you already got your paper? Anybody didn't get a sheet of paper? I mean, I told them to give one to each family so that you could have at least a minimum amount of reading that will satiate you during the week. Now, see if I can get connected to another world. Now, I wish somebody would say it to you, neighbor. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I will choose my emotional system. I will rejoice in it. If you're not dead, that's who he's talking to. And we can get more of these sheets that we've got. An ability out there. It's just that it was taking so long to give you something, and I wanted every family to have one. Somebody say the stage is set. Oh, got that little deal going. Thank you. See if we can get something happening up here again. Called spooling. That work? Yes. I repeat it to myself after I leave, but I don't need for you to hear it twice, you know, every time I say something. This ambitious world up here called computations becomes competing with me. The stage is set. God is a unthinkable ability to set everything up just right for everything. Think about how long he had to set the stage for you to get graduated. How many stages did you go through? All of our teachers, just raise your hand real quick. Aren't we thrilled to have a good amount of teachers from our assembly in the school system? Let's give them a big hand. They face all kind of stuff. But that sets the stage for children to make quality decisions. Come on, tell me. You know, it's just a lot nicer when God speaks your language. So he talks to your spiritual nature, and that's why we're born again, is to develop a spirit that becomes the educational virtue of truth. Again, the word teaches you the highway. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The spirit gives you the ability to go down the highway or up the highway and cross over every mountain and cross through every valley and every crooked places. Matter of fact, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you with the spirit thing. I'm going to give you a way that seems to be no, where there seems to be no way. And then I'm going to give you power to go, and you're going to be able to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And he said, then, this one really got me. He said, I'm going to make the crooked places straight, and the straight and the high places low, and the low places high. And I'm going to give you peace that passes understanding. abandoned, and you're going to be able to go down highways that have high mountains and low valleys and bridges out, and you're going to be able to walk through where serpents and snakes and all the other junk has lived. You're going to be able to crescendo in an abundant life that you don't deserve, and I'm going to see to it that hell never has more power than you have if you follow me. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of stuff, you know, it sets me ablaze. Knowing, he said, knowledge is the critical issue. So the stage is set. Everybody knows about the birth of Christ. That doesn't mean they appreciate it. That doesn't mean they appropriate from it. But everyone celebrates Christmas, even in foreign countries. They don't celebrate it like we do, but they celebrate that time of the year. And so then we have a rapture setting in which Jesus rose from the dead and led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. That's why you want the gift of the Holy Ghost, because you want to be able to speak in heavenly languages. That's a phenomenon. And people are turned off by talking in tongues and they cuss like sailors. I've never seen a home blessed by good cussing. But I have seen numerous homes blessed by tongue talkers. Mad at who? For what? I understand being hurt. But I can't curse hurt out of my body. I mean, get over it. The stage is set. We, the people of this generation, are caught up between those two settings. The birth of Jesus was on this wise. And then the resurrection was on this wise. And everybody that celebrates Christmas in any way celebrates that. They may not celebrate it like his children do, but they celebrate it. And then they celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday. Now, a lot of people won't call it Easter, and they won't call it that. But at that time of the year, they go to the store and hope that everybody else is celebrating Easter and giving good deals. It's an amazing thing how many people celebrate life or things in such a different way. Now, in this setting, we can be a part of the drama, or we can be the results of wishes and dreams. What are your deep-rooted wishes? A wish to be like Jesus? A desire to be like Jesus? A study that precipitates that kind of event? What is the real vision? Because here's what the book says. Without a vision, the people perish. Now, a lot of people have to have helps with their vision in the flesh. And the Bible said, I'm going to send preachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers to help be the bifocals for helping to sense and see the perfect power of God and the perfect way of God and the perfect apprehending or moving in on it. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto man. I would never put anybody in hell. I've studied it too much. I've watched people head there. I've watched them live in it here. When peace is available to me, why would I live with a tormented mind divided in itself? One day I want to live for God. One day I don't know if I want to live for God. One day I want to live for people. And the next day I want to hate people. One day that's a divided house. I'm here to preach to you a connected house. A head, a heart, and feet, and hands that all work to the same effort. And that's to please Jesus Christ. And in order to please Him, I need His way. I need His life. I need His word. I need His blood, because the life is in the blood. The life is in the authority. The life is in the Spirit. I wish you'd pray for your preacher right now. God, don't let him go to sleep on his shift. Pray, I mean, really cry out to God. I'm serious about this stuff. This is no game with me. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning writing future for us. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning writing future for us. I'm not going to slow down. If anything, I'm going to pick up the pace. I hate what hell's doing to our social system. I hate what hell is doing to every religious system. He is destroying America little at a time. That's the way he got in the garden. Pray for your preacher again, would you? I interrupted you, and I know that. But pray right now. God, don't let him go to sleep on his shift. God, keep him alive. Keep him alert. Keep him aware. Do whatever you got to do to give him the thoughts that would help me manage my life. Praise God. Thank you so much. All of you out there online, I hope you're praying right now with this assembly. And now I want us to pray for our city, that the ministry of this church will flow through every member of the body of this church. You ought to be repeating what your preacher's saying. And I know you can't repeat it verbatim because I talk too fast. But I know we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Quit telling, you know, believing those lies. We can't do it. It is not impossible. He did not give us something that's impossible. He said, I made you a living letter. I made you an epistle to the world. The way you dress, the way you look, the way you talk, the way you act about situations is all a matter of us being the light of the world. The light that is focused against darkness. The light that gives hope. The light that gives love. The light that gives joy. The light that gives peace. The light that gives heaven. I'm telling you, He's the light of the world. And He said, I'm with you now, but I'm going to be in you. That's going to be the Holy Ghost inside of you. Why would anybody hesitate to talk German if you're in Germany? Why would anybody? Have you ever spoken to Deutsch? No more than it sounds like talking in tongues when you're talking to your master. Howbeit in the spirit we speak mysteries. No flesh can interpret the desire of the soul, but they can interpret the action of life. Great peace have they who love the law of the Lord, and nothing shall by any means offend them. That's where we're headed. Jesus was not offended in his purpose because they beat him. It hurts just to have people talk about us. And they ridiculed him. And one of his special guys, Judas, turned his back on him and gave him the kiss of love and betrayed him. That's the kind of Messiah we're serving. He did not stop his forward progress because soon. Come on. messed up a whole day over a candle missing? Or some little 5-year-old finger dipping in the icing? I wish the rest of you would have come. Let's move forward. We can be the results of wishes and dreams, or we can be the disaster that creates another one. Two roles in the drama called life, and one is to be a believer and one is to be an unbeliever. In the terms of the word, choose you this day. And then every day when you get up, remember the Lord's Prayer. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I'm not trying to quote you the Lord's Prayer. I want you to get the Lord's Prayer down. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm quoting another scriptural setting from a guy that lived that way. Great peace have they who love the law of the Lord, and nothing shall by any means offend them. Once we let somebody else in our world, they can get your whole day messed up. So he said, start off walking with the Prince of Peace. Start off walking in the Word. The Word is the bread. Give us this day our daily bread. He is not a God that's afar off. He is a God that is close at hand. He can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Infirmity simply means weak moments, weaknesses. He can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And so when you can't get up on your own, he sends a preacher to get your hide up. Got to get you everywhere the onliners can see it. Now, just for a minute, pretend that I am the Lord. Shout unto me with a voice of triumph.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Maybe you better go ahead and practice that about 10 times. That ought to be normal for a worshiper. This is our day. This don't belong to hell. This don't belong to Satan. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I am not going to live in mediocrity when I can climb up into the glory of another world. They took note of them that they had been with the Messiah because they looked like drunks. And I have watched it. Thank you, sir. I may call on you again soon. They think nothing about acting like a drunk and even getting drunk at a ball game. They think nothing of dressing a certain way to be a cheerleader. Half clothed. And we applaud with them over something that's not going to pay us anything. And then we reduce life to boredom, going to church just hoping there really is a ticket somewhere to get us out of here. These are pep rallies. I never did put on their skirts.
Six bits. Eight bits. A dollar.
And you'll do that for a ball player and go to church and not do what he wants us to do? Shout unto the Lord with a voice of praise. Hold on, hold on. Let me tell you what that's all about again. He inhabits, pitches his tent and dwells. But somebody that's living by the bedside of somebody that's sick, and all of a sudden you take a praise break and you say, God, you're the one that kept them this long. God, you're the one that gave them their first breath, and you're going to give them their last breath. I will praise you for every good thing that they have ever done for me. You're going to create a life-threatening power. I mean, a wonderful source of energy that is going to chase sickness away unless it's God's time to take them. Go ahead and be seated. We walk in the room. We say, shh. Shh. Don't get too many spirits stirred up in here. Paul in prison on the other side of the fence. Just by praise, they knew he was free anyhow. But they didn't know the one that could shake the prison. To drag weary, fatigued souls out of the gutters of hell and sin, out of the powers of hell and darkness. Thank you, God. He's in prison, and he's praising God until the prison keepers say, what is with this guy? Is he a demoniac? No, he'd been delivered from demoniacism. Well, you know, I don't want people to think I'm crazy. Do you not think that people thought Jesus was crazy? When he said, I've come to my own and my own received me not. And said, Father, forgive them. That's what the world thinks. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You ought to thank God every day that you want to dress and talk and live godly in every way in the world. Nobody ought to be handing out rules. It ought to be a rule of the Spirit. I want to live godly. I want to live modestly. I want to live holy. I want to live righteous. I want to fraternize with those others that do. It ought to be a burning sensation. We've tried it. I preached it. But I found out I hadn't preached him enough. Because when desire happens, you don't want to look like some whoremonger. A guy that's had about 5 or 6 wives. Dress like that. Want to dress like some mother that walked off and left her kids for another dude? Say, Pastor, you preaching hard. Let me tell you something, how long eternity is. When he said, love not the world, neither the things in the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, he wasn't being mean. You didn't get your kids out of playing ball out of the street because you hated them. Get out of that street, boy. Come up here and sit on the porch. You've been playing too much out there in the courtroom of the world. Come out. What's wrong with coming out of hell a little early? Great peace. Now, I'll tell you what's not peace. It's try to fraternize somebody that likes spinach, and that's all they eat. You hate spinach. That is not fun. And when you don't love God, worship is dumb. Because if he don't live in your heart and mind and spirit, you're just worshiping something that was you got to do this if you want to be Pentecostal. Get out of that stuff. Get out of that. No. Pentecostals endorsed that years ago, and some of them now, all the time you get them to shout is when they hear the song they want to hear, and the rest of the time they mumble, I am so weary with that song. And the Bible said he is coming back to execute judgment on those who murmur and complain. We preached on don't wear blue suits. Come on, folks. You know what I'm saying. You can't make enough rules to make people holy. If it's not a desire, you can't force your kids to eat cherry cream pie. Call and make sure that we finish the last one. One of my mother's favorite cookings was her cherry cream pie. Please, again, now, I know some of y'all, you're thinking, I've got to get him 3 or 4 of those things. Do it over a year, if you will, because I'm on a diet. The choice is ours. Who will you serve? You have 2 choices. God or flesh. And he said, I am the light of the world, and I'm going to make you the light of the world. And then he said, I want to tell you about the double-minded. The people that try to serve God on Sunday and then on Monday try to please the flesh world. They never do know peace because they never know who they're pleasing. They never know and feel as if they are complete. Because the call of God is the only real completeness in life. Because it takes care of that very first breath you had. And then it takes care of the last one you give. And then it takes care of the future you would like. So, the stage is set. We have all kind of things going on in our world. But Isaiah said it this way. In that day, this song, somebody say that day. Look at the word right under that in blue, salvation. This is the day of the messianic revival spirit. Jesus came thousands of years after that he was part of this plan. When your eternal time is insignificant. So he said, in that day, talking about the day you and I are living, the hour of salvation, this song will be sung in the land of praise. Judah means praise. We have a strong city, Jerusalem. Somebody say Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place, and the Bible says Jerusalem was the mother of us all. That's where the Holy Ghost fell. That's where that God's immediate followers who had faith in him and his mother who birthed him, his brothers who walked with him, all got the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why would anybody not want that? What would be the deterrent to that kind of opportunity? Open ye the gates, you preachers. The righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. In other words, keep the doors of honesty, the integrity of the word, the depth of the word. Keep all of that so that people can walk into it that want to be righteous. And then thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. That's not only stated one time. It's just like the idea of talking in tongues. It's a numerous times. Why people don't want to talk in tongues when it's a very vital part of the beginning of the New Testament church. And then they'll go out and cuss, lie, cheat, and steal. And all that they use their tongues to do most of all I just quoted. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah. Is what? Strength. Strength to tear down imaginations that are ripping your kids apart. Imaginations that are ripping our city apart. Yo, you men, get in the gates of this city. The Bible said, go into the gates of the city and be strong in those gates. In other words, give them a word of encouragement. Give them a word of hope. I'd whole lot rather offer them a hope in Jesus than tell them I love the Cowboys knowing they like the Indians. Come out a lot safer if they really like them. They'll talk bad about you and them Cowboys. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, or the lofty church, or the lofty individual. He uses city because that's multi. He layeth it low. He layeth it low. How about that? Twice. Even down to the ground. In other words, the possibility of melting in to the social system, every one of us are going to turn back into dirt. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. But the soul that is in him is alive right now in paradise. And then all of you that have lost beautiful loved ones that are having a loved one in paradise, the Bible said that the Lord's going to bring them and those here and join them together, and they're going to stand before the book of life, and it's going to be revealed every good thing they ever did. I don't care where you've been living. I'm telling you, there's something to look forward to in this Jesus thing. He bringeth it even to the dust. What time is it? Oh, it's 11:30. What time do y'all get out? Let's see if we can't. One thing you can be sure of. One thing you can be sure of. As you have seen him go away, so shall he come again. How did he go away? Go read the Luke, the 24th chapter. They saw him. 500 people saw him. And it should not amaze you that now, after that departure, without a helicopter, without a rocket, without anybody throwing him, he ascended on high and he led captivity captive. But a fourth, a mere 25% went back to get the Holy Ghost. Does that tell you anything about what's happening in your generation? They saw him ascend. And the demons of hell were so captivating and so managerial over their flesh. You want to know why he said crucify the flesh and the lust thereof? Because this flesh will doubt, make you doubt your own experience. It will make you doubt your choices. It will make you doubt the word that's been alive for thousands of years. That's why 75% walked away. Now, here's the beautiful part. Out of that event, I mean, all you got to do is go study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see all the hillside, turn fishes into multi-fishes, turn two abilities of bread into loaves of bread. I mean, like that ought to stagger the brain itself. This ain't no just another dude. This was a virgin-born baby that had the managerial and spiritual authority over creative moments. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord is supposed to do. But you can't mix carnality and spirituality. He said, serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. How many of you know, how many of you practiced on electricity, just hooking the black, white, and ground wire all together? Did you get the light light up? Somebody say you have to hook it up right to get the light. Now, that's simple. You cannot run your car on water. But water will keep your body. He designed it all. And he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost if you want it. And it will make you become a light. And the scripture is opened to understanding by the light. I have seen total reprobates try to obey scripture and can't do it. You got to confess your sins. You got to repent, turn around. And there's just so many things that I'd like to share with you. But I want to end it today by telling you, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And don't you let the devil talk you out of it today. And tell you, you've been too far away, you've made too many mistakes, and you've been too against what God wanted for your life. I've already lived up most of my life. I don't have time. Let me tell you something. He works better than the speed of light. If you start today and the rapture takes place tonight, you'll catch up with the best that started 100 years ago. That's how capable he is of changing. He showed you at the graveyard a body that was beaten, bruised, and down as far as man was concerned. But not only did it gain its ability to preside over the eternal world, it gave them a visibility of the rapture of the church. They saw it. And 75% walked out of the assembly of visibility and of hearing of the word and said, you know what? Maybe someday. There are just too many people making it without. I don't know about you, but I don't like trying broke again because some stole. Because some had to rob, do wrong. You can't steal Jesus. Could we stand? This altar's open today for anybody. Your faith has risen. He said, I am going to send you the Comforter. But all the way back before this Holy Ghost was given in St. John, the 7th chapter, Nicodemus, there came to him a man by midnight that was a religious man. And he said, Nicodemus, let me tell you something. You must be born again. And then for 6 verses, he teaches him what to do. You must be born again of the water, and you must be born again of the Spirit. I don't know how people can overlook the Word of God and say, that don't mean anything. But not only did his mother honor that, Not only did the guys that left their jobs and followed him for 3.5 years honor that, somewhere along the way, almost 100 others gathered on the day of Pentecost. And don't forget, in Acts the 2nd chapter, when he's revealing this, he uses the term saved by faith. Then, that was to the people that were there when they got down to the 37th verse. He answers their question when they said, "What must we do?" If all you had to do was go back and say that scripture, why didn't he do it? He took their faith and led them through another door and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Watch what he adds to that: "For the remission of your sins." Remission of your sins means put a barrier between your history and your future. You didn't just get wet. If you, by faith, honored God in His Word, you got your sins remitted. And then His mother and the disciples that traipsed over the earth with Him all spoke in tongues on that same chapter. And then they led thousands of others. They turned city after city upside down with that gospel. So why don't we pray for our city? That God would give us the wisdom and the timing and the knowledge of helping people. We think nothing about giving a nickel or a dime or a dollar to somebody that's without. Have you ever received? It's a lot better to give than it is receive. Makes you feel a little limited to have to be receiving. But let's give it to them anyhow, because they're going to be in a position then to give. The stage is set for the greatest revival that Joel ever saw. Let's pray. I don't mean go through some rhetoric. I'm talking about to open your heart and tell God what you really want out of this service. Tell Him what you'd like to become to help your neighbor. Open for anybody that wants the Holy Ghost. If you want to be baptized today in the name of Jesus, the water's ready. I'm not doing it because I'm Pentecostal. I believe in the bloodline. I believe there's all power in the name of Jesus. I believe the Holy Ghost is the power of God unto salvation. That's what the book said. The Holy Ghost is the power of God unto salvation.
The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
Oh, that's it.
The Father's arms are open.
Let's let them hear us praise Jesus like they praise athletes. Like they praise world figures.
He's coming back. Be ye ready.
For He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. Oh, I'm the one of
you. Try to tell somebody about your experience with Jesus. More than telling them to come to the house of God, tell them what the God of the house does at your house. Hallelujah. 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 Try to hold yourself together till I get back with you. Sing on. Sing on.
The altar, the Father's arms are Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open.
Could I have your attention just 1 minute? Could I have your attention just 1 minute? There may be another one, but Brother Charles Osmus did pass away from COVID, and I do want to straighten that out. I did talk to two or three people, and they couldn't even remember that at the time I talked to them, but we do remember that. Sister Cynthia, I wanted you to know that we certainly did not overlook that on purpose. Is there anybody else that died from COVID? I'm talking about that died from COVID. There's some aged people that had COVID, but I don't know of anybody else other than that. But I certainly like to make my wrongs right, and this is the time to do it. Oh, Ann Thompson. Okay, don't forget those two. And if you think of anybody else, please let me know so that I can make that right with their family. Because it's not fair to them to ignore the reality of life. And I don't mind facing off with reality.
Thank you.